Any questions about choices? The other way to develop autonomy is to acknowledge the struggle that they're going through. We talked a lot about frustration and how frustration levels lead to anger if it's unacknowledged as frustration. When we were talking about how to teach children emotions, how you language emotions, you need to acknowledge their struggle. So right now Eric's struggling to find an answer. You need to acknowledge the struggle without taking the problem away from him.
Yeah,
I know you
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
It's cultural. It's cultural.
You gotta be there.
That's right. That's right. And that's the worst thing you can do for a child is take its problem away. What does it tell the child?
Mommy will be there all the time.
Nope.
I have to do it myself.
Nope. You're not good enough to handle it yourself, so I'm going to do it for you. You're not smart enough. You're not but enough. You're not but enough. You're not but enough. And I am, so I'm going to do it for you.
He stands there and he wants, and I know that he can do it. He wanted to get up on the couch, and, you know, it's like you tell a four-year-old, don't stand on the couch. You know, we did some motor learning, so I want him to figure out how to do this. And I know he can do it, but he'll stand there and whine. No, you do it for me, you pick me up. And I have a hard time with him. He's still whining. What do I do?
But what do you do?
Sometimes I say to him, you can do this, you're fine, I know you can do it, just figure it out.
But you have to acknowledge the struggle. That's really hard, isn't it, Sammy? And I know you can do it. Ooh, you're getting frustrated. Ooh, you can do it, I know you can do it, I know you can do it.
You know, even at his age, I mean, he's like...
Of course he's frustrated. He's frustrated. He doesn't know how to work his body. His mind says, do this, jump on the couch, turn on the television. Plug in the toaster, and his body won't do it. Totally frustrated. Sure, of course. So you have to acknowledge the struggle. And that's in any age. It's a big struggle for your daughter to make this choice, you know? It's quite a choice to make at that age. You have to acknowledge the struggle that it is and the courage to take action out of that struggle. And what does that tell them? What does that teach them? When you acknowledge you're struggling with this, I can see that you're struggling with this, and I know you're going to make the right choice.
Compassion.
You trust them?
Compassion.
It's okay to go through struggle. And what's the one thing they're going to have to know about life? It's okay to go through struggle. Okay. The hardest part that teenagers and college students have is that they don't know that. They think that their life is going to be grand the minute they leave home. And is it? I mean, some of these kids are in shock. You know, because mommy's done everything and they've had no struggle and they really don't know how to make choices and they've never had to make those kind of choices. And they've never had to say no. They could always say, well, I have to go home. I mean, they really don't know how to make choices and they really don't know what it's like to go through a struggle and make a choice that was the right choice for them. Even if it was a wrong choice for everyone else, it was the right choice for them. So you acknowledge the struggle and acknowledge the choice. If the struggle is math, you don't want them left with their opinion that they're not intelligent about math. But most kids are left that way because we don't acknowledge the struggle that they're going through.
For example, I shared with you about Lucas' conversation with Gwen and the fact that he started withdrawing from class conversation for whatever reason. I was driving to Hartley and he asked me why the snow was dirty. I said, well, because they put the sand so that, you know, prevents it from sand as dirt goes on and turns black. He went on telling me something that I honestly did not understand what he was saying. He was talking car, the crash, and, you know, the edge, and he was using a lot of end signals. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, and I said, Luca, tell me the beginning. I didn't quite understand what he said, because I really didn't. It's not that I had no clue what the hell he was talking about. And he's never done it before, but he got so angry. He was like, never mind. And so I said, no, it's important to me. I really want to know what you're saying. Just that I didn't have enough information, didn't quite understand. I know you know what you're trying to say. I just need help. You know, sometimes I don't hear very well. Just repeat to me, please. And his reaction was pretty sincere. And I thought, you know, he starts with me because he was saying how, you know, I think, you know, you don't understand, nobody understands, and I try to say something and it doesn't come out, and I just was heartbroken.
But where did he learn that? Where did he learn that people don't understand him because he doesn't speak well? That's what you have to turn around. That's what you have to work on turning around in him, is that he does speak well. He does know what he wants to say. He's a very good communicator. And you don't speak good English either. And you understand what a struggle it is sometimes to get people to understand you. And Daddy talks so far in the clouds that most people don't understand his conversations either. You know, I mean, he's Mr. Intelligento. And so some people have to struggle to understand him as well. Everybody has a different way of communicating, and you have to be patient with yourself. But you have to acknowledge the struggle he's going through right now. Because even if it's not coming from you or from his teachers, it's coming from somebody, probably the kids.
Because he brought up a couple of names in this conversation. I don't really know what his kids are. His kids are.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very upset about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could have myself, I didn't want to make a big deal, but I could have myself crying with him.
Right.
Because I really understand.
The struggle.
Yeah. You know, look, it's not a child that just get, you know, he's a persistent child. Like, he would try things, you know. So it was the first time that I saw the side of it. I guess it's vulnerability. So, you know, even if it wasn't as much the sense of helplessness that I had before, because I know that I'm doing the best that I can for him. You know, I mean, he has the tools. It's a question of time for him to work and just put into action and exercising.
No, it's a matter of somebody acknowledging that this kid is struggling to communicate and that it's difficult and that it doesn't go away. When he learns how to speak properly, his struggle is not going to go away. Just like when a teenager moves out of home, the struggle doesn't go away. They just have a whole new set of rules to live under called the law. You better make sure your kid knows the law when they leave home. Communication is not something that is ever going to be not struggle. He's always going to struggle with somebody, either on his job or in relationship or with his peers. Or that's not ever going to go away. That's not a problem that is just Luca McNeil's.
Right.
That's
now,
a problem.
To put in words together, this would be just a confronting and communicating with somebody, regardless if you're able to speak well or not.
Right. And if he can hold it in that context, he can get through the struggle. But I don't think anybody's saying, you know, I know what a struggle it is. I had to learn English. I know what a struggle this is for you. And it's worth the struggle. Communication is the most important thing you're going to do in your life. It's worth the struggle, but don't give up. The other way to produce autonomy is to stop asking too many questions. Do you remember going home and having your mother fire these questions at you? Boom, boom, boom. Where'd you go? What'd you do? Out of school. And do you remember not wanting to talk when you got home from school? Any of you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So you have to pay attention to where your children are at. They have a right to their own thoughts, they have a right to their own feelings, and they have a right to share or not share. And at a certain point in their life, you have to give them the respect and the dignity to know that they don't have to share every thought that they have with you, and they don't have to share every problem or every concern with you. Now, hopefully they will, but it usually comes from giving them a little room to not have to. So if your kid comes home and they're in a terrible mood, you know, don't stand there grilling them, because they're just going to get angry with you. There comes a point where children want to solve their own problems. And that point could come anywhere from 7 to 92. Some people never want to solve their own problems. There's still hope. So if you find that they're getting upset when you're asking them questions, just give them a half hour to calm down. Especially if you're a mother or a father who likes to solve their problems. There'll come a point where they won't want you to solve their problems, where they're deciding that they should solve some of their own problems, where they should make some of their own decisions, and they won't want to share with you what's going on. It doesn't mean they're on drugs, contrary to popular belief. It doesn't mean that they're running with the wrong crowd. It doesn't mean anything but that they've had an overload of a day, and they don't want to talk, thank you very much. No different than when we come home from work, and we don't want to talk. We want to have a cup of coffee. We don't want to answer any questions. Don't want to talk to anybody. You just want to zone out for a half hour and get home. Children are no different than that. Now, how does that develop autonomy?
You have to respect their own feelings and try to work it out.
Exactly. Exactly. That there's a time and a place for everything, and it's up to them to determine the time and the place. That there's a time to share with mom and dad, hey, I've got this problem, or hey, I had this rotten day, this kid said this to me. And there's a time that you can say, I really don't want to talk right now. All I want to do is just kind of be quiet. That you have the right at any age to say that. And that your parents have the right to ask you questions, but that you have the right to say, give me 15 minutes. Give me 10 minutes. Now, how is that going to follow into their adult lives?
Probably going to think about it.
What is the source of argument? Two people trying to get their message across, two people not listening to each other until it escalates, right? Two people asking questions when and not having the right to say, hey, I need 10 minutes. I'm going to take 10 minutes here. I'm going to calm myself down, have a cup of tea, because my thoughts are not conducive to a loving relationship right now. I will be back. Stay tuned. You're teaching them even at this age that it's okay to have private thoughts, that they don't have to express every single thought. If you go for the grilling at that point in time, you're probably going to get your feelings hurt. Because there comes a point where they just tell you exactly what's on their mind, and it's not something that you really want to hear. Yes, at least a half hour. I mean, I don't recommend TV, but if that's her thing. They just are too stimulated at school. All day long, they've done what they're told. They have decisions to make. They have the socialization, and this one talked to that one and didn't talk to me, and I thought she was my best friend, and this one got a new gym suit, and I didn't get in. It's traumatic, the decisions that they have. It's overwhelming, because there's always new stimulus. Even a math problem can throw them over the edge. They're throwing a temper tantrum because they can't get that 9 times 9 equals 81. It makes no sense in their brain. And when they get to that point, you have to just let them calm down. Let them do something. TV is basically zoning out, so if that's how she zones out, they just zone out.
Yeah, but what about, like, I come home from school, we go to gymnastics, we get home, I got to feed her dinner, take a bath, get her to bed. She just wants to sit down and watch TV.
Yes. Yes, and you sit and do something, nothing, for 20 minutes. Call a quiet time in the house for 20 minutes. And that way, by the time you get to dinner, everybody's calm again. It's not this hectic rush of, oh, we've got to do this, boop, 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 every single minute of schedule. Because you need time to calm down and assimilate the day, and so does she. And if you don't have 20 minutes, then you take 10. But it's important that you sit down and calm down, and that she sit down and calm down, have a cup of tea, and relax. The rest of the night will go much smoother because you feel like even that 10 minutes is a vacation. I'm not having to answer questions, not having to.
Yeah,
you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Do your homework.
Right.
So I should be fixing
it. 20 minutes. It's yours.
20 minutes.
Yep, 20 minutes is yours. What would you like to do with your 20 minutes today? Read a book, bath, lay in bed, watch TV, what would you like to do? 20 minutes is yours.
Okay, with that where I want to feed her, but she doesn't fall asleep at 6 o'clock.
Well, then it's a good time for you to have alone time with the 2-year-old. You can work it out. You can work it out. Or you give her a choice. I just know that you're going to, if kids don't have that time, they get mean. You know, and they say things that they don't mean. And you wind up getting your feelings hurt. And you could do it from day to day. You can tell when she's overstimulated. On those days, just give her 20 minutes. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a routine. Half hour in the house every night is quiet. That's for homework or reading. Everybody's quiet and the TV's off. Everybody calms down before bed. And what does that teach them when they're older?
That it takes your own quiet time to get themselves
right.
And it's okay to do that.
Right.
So that they don't have to
run around like we do. Wondering what direction we're doing this in. Nicole?
Andrea needs a learning time. So I drew cards on the paper, which is a time where, like a schedule, but with only the main thing, you know, dinner time, breakfast, evening, and all those. In between, I say, now you see, this is play time, and you do this is your time, provided that you. And then I give him a bath before going to bed, so he's not there. But it's good because he feels there are points of reference there where he knows that this is happening, but in between it's kind of loose.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives some freedom.
Yeah.
He like
that. Yeah, sure. Because he has choices about playtime. And he has choices about whether he wants to do that now or do that later and give up his playtime. Okay, the other thing is don't answer too many questions. Don't be quick to answer their questions. We get into the habit of answering every single question that we're asked. And the answers are so easy for us. You know, a lot of times we don't even hear the question. We just, boom, there's the answer. Boom, there's the answer. We have to train ourselves to not answer as quickly as we do. What will happen if we do that? What happens if you pause before a question? Exactly. Exactly. If you find yourself answering all of your child's questions, you become who? Who you become? You become the encyclopedia. And so anytime that they have a question, who are they going to come to? You. Well, that's okay as long as they're little. And they don't learn how to use different resources. They don't learn how to use different resources. Michael asked me about fire engines. Now, what the hell do I know about fire engines? You know, the red. I don't know. He asked me, how many fire engines are there? How many different kinds? I don't know. So what do? Buy a tape about fire engines. Just say, well, go to the library and get a book. If you're really interested, we'll go get a book. You can tell me, because I'm not particularly interested in fire engines, but I'd be more than happy to help you find the information that you need. You also want to make sure that your answer is age appropriate. What does that mean? Okay. What else does it mean? The information is age appropriate.
Well, you might as well be able to handle it, otherwise, why bother? You want to give them an answer that.
But how do you know if it's not age appropriate? What will they do? Exactly what Susan's doing right now. Yawn. Or they'll look up like, God, I'm never going to ask her another question. You know? Babies either come out of the cabbage patch or the belly, Mom. That's all I want to know. I don't want to know all the rest of it. Firemen either go to college or they don't. I don't care that they have to go through all of these different courses to be a... You know, do they go to college is my basic question. So you want to make sure that your answers are age appropriate. And that takes a little thinking before you answer. So throughout the next week, you're going to want to stop and ask yourself when children are asking you questions, stop and say, wait a minute, let me see if they can answer this themselves. The more that they can work through and struggle through for answers for themselves, the more autonomous they're going to be. And it's difficult as a parent watching your child struggle when you know the answer. But between 12 and 13, they're going to be making some very important decisions on their own. Do I do drugs? Who do I hang with? Do I use a condom? Do I have sex? Do I go to this party? Do I hang with these people? Do I hang with those people? Am I going to go to college? They're going to be making some very important decisions at those ages, and you want them to be prepared to trust their decision, even if their decision is based on nothing but instinct.